This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Message today, would you please take your Bibles and turn them to Daniel chapter 12? Daniel chapter 12, and we will be reading all 13 verses. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked and beheld, there stood two others, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man, clothed in the linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him who liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished the breaking up of the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tested, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be a 2,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand thy lot at the end of the days. This is God's word.
The title of this message, final message, is Go Your Way, Daniel. It comes from Daniel chapter 12, when at the end of the revelation that he received from the angelic visitation back in chapter 10, the angel says to him, go your way, Daniel, in verse 9. It's amazing how much I've learned in Daniel. Daniel has been one of the books of the Bible that I have not understood for most of my Christian life. I'd read through it and come to passages about these beasts and passages about this statue with different parts and different metals. And then you had this vision of the ram and the goat with the one big horn and the other horn. And then the goat has the one horn that breaks into four. And then there's a little horn that grows and all these pictures and visions. And I never quite understood. And then you come to chapter 11 and you've got the warrings between the king of the north and the king of the south. And I just didn't know what that was. And of course, there was plenty in Daniel to glean from. But going through this series has been so enlightening to me to understand just how amazing our God is, to see how he gave Daniel prophecies of events that were going to happen in history, and to look in history and see that they were fulfilled entirely, hundreds of years before they came to pass. And it has boosted my confidence, and I've learned so much. And I come to the end of the series, and you know, want to know what I realized more than anything I just shared? there's a lot more I do not understand. So, one way you can tell if you're getting older is the change of technology. It's a good litmus test to know how old you're getting. When I was a boy, we used cassette tapes to listen to our music. And if we wanted to watch a movie, we put in a VHS. Around some point as I was getting older, I don't remember when, but all of a sudden things changed. And they went to CDs for music and DVDs for movies. So we have a wide range of ages in the room here. So some of you probably know some forms of technology earlier than what I referenced. And some of you are probably clueless to what I just mentioned when I said VHS. So with the DVD, that's what I was familiar with for most of my life, and a CD. And the way they worked, it was a thin, round piece of plastic that you would put into a CD player or into a computer or into a DVD player to use it. And you would listen to music through it, or you would watch a movie through it. And usually what happened is as these things got worn down, they would get scratches on them. And what would happen is you'd be listening to a song, and all of a sudden the song would stop and start skipping. Or you'd be watching a movie, and all of a sudden the movie just stopped. And then a second later it would move again. And then you'd see all these little squares just pop all over the screen. You know what I'm talking about, right? You see the squares pop on the screen, and then there would be another little movement. And you'd wait, and you'd wait, and you'd wait. You were into the movie, and it just stopped, and you'd wait, and it just wouldn't go on. And so you know what you had to do. You're familiar. You had to go back to the root menu, go into the title menu, find the next scene that was after the skipping point, and rewind it back to the point where it skipped. You've had to do that many of time, and it was always a trial and error because you'd rewind too far and you'd land in the skipping point and have to start over. It was a very frustrating experience. I was shocked the day I went into a vehicle that was a newer vehicle and saw there was no CD port. I thought to myself, the sky is falling, the Lord's returning, I must be really having a surreal experience. But sure enough, they're out. But these DVDs, you'd watch these movies and it'd skip. And what would happen is, this is what would happen. If you ever went to the video store that you'd go to rent a movie? Remember those days? Before Netflix and all this nonsense, you go there and you go to the store with the person there and ask them. You'd rent the DVD, bring it home. If it was used, you might watch this movie and all of a sudden it skips. And you know what happens? You miss a portion of the story. You don't know what happens. There's a segment of the movie that you just cannot see. Most of the time, there's enough of the movie you can watch to know how it begins, what's the main plot, what's the conflict, and how it's going to end. But throughout the movie, these scratches cause you to see things, to miss things in part of the story. Maybe they were significant things. I feel that way with the end of Daniel. I feel like I've watched a beautiful movie of God's control over all of human history, and how He is going to bring redemption, and how He is going to bring salvation to this world and renew it and conquer evil. But there have been parts along the way that were like a movie skipping. I just don't get it. I don't understand. You come to the end of chapter 12 and you have the time for the daily sacrifice taken away, the abomination of desolation, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who comes to the 1,335 days. Why is there 45 more days? I don't know. You go back to chapter 11, you have references to Antiochus Epiphanes in the 2nd century BC. Then you have references to a future Antichrist. How do you know the difference? I don't know. How long until the end? I want to know how long until the end, the time of the end that the book of Daniel refers to. We don't know. We're not told. I have questions as how does God's control and providence over the world work with human free will? Because it's Daniel says that God removes kings and sets up kings. But yet human choices still matter. How are the final world powers going to look like? Are there final nations already on the world stage today that's going to unfold? Or is it going to be sometime in the distant future? What role will Israel play in the end times as we see the nation of Israel restarting in 1948 and all these things happening? I wonder, does that mean we're close to the end, or could there be some overturning of the nation and we have to wait another period of time before it's regathered? We don't know. What will the Antichrist's rule look like? We don't know. And you come to a point when you have to accept that God intended it for there to be skips in the movie. God intended there to be parts that you and I are not going to understand. We must reach a point when we realize it's okay not to know. It's okay to not have all the answers, because we have been given enough to know how we should live today. God has given us enough insight to give us confidence and for us to trust Him with tomorrow. Think of Daniel. We're at the end of the book of Daniel. Daniel is old now. We started in chapter 1. He was a teenager. He was deported out of Israel, brought into the land of Babylon. And now at the end of the book, he's well in his 80s, likely. He's lived his whole life in Babylon, serving various kings in the name of God. And if you read about Daniel, he is given incredible wisdom and incredible insight. In fact, in Daniel's day, it is likely that he was the wisest, most knowledgeable human being on earth at that time. And here, at the end of his life, with all the compiled knowledge that he's been given, he says in chapter 12, verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. And perhaps there's wisdom in being able to say to God, you know something? I do not understand. That is enough. This final chapter gives us an overview of what we can expect. It doesn't give the minute details that we would like, timing, exact nations, exact happenings, but it does give us an overview, and it gives us enough so that we can live faithfully for God. The first thing that this tail end of this prophecy given to Daniel teaches us is that you can know that the future will include great tribulation. In chapter 12, verse 1, the angel is telling Daniel what's going to happen at the end, and he says, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. So just to reiterate, that means that this archangel Michael is the angel assigned to the people of Israel. He is the angelic being who is to oversee the people of Israel. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. There is a prediction that we can expect that the future will include great tribulation. And that's worth mentioning because, as I've said before, there are some who teach and preach that the world, in fact, is actually going to get better and better and better. And once it's finally reached a point when the entire world is Christianized, then Jesus is going to return. And here we have a description that there's going to be a time of trouble. Jesus uses this, if you want to follow me, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said, that in the end, after the abomination of desolation is set up by spoken by the prophet Daniel in verse 15, he says in verse 16, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go down to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then, here it is, there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. Paul also talks about the great falling away among the church, and I've brought this up in the past in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says that the day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. So you can expect in this world that there will be, in the future, great tribulation. And the reason why God allows there to be great tribulation, why God allows there to be evil, why God allows these devastating things that we've heard about recently this morning to happen, is because God is working His glory in history one day at a time. That the story is not over. That there will be an end, but He's using that tribulation for His people to purify His people. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, the Bible says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. Now, I've talked about this debate that there is over whether the church will be going through this end times great tribulation or be raptured before it. And like I said, it doesn't matter ultimately. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. And so, regardless of your perspective, you can expect as a believer in Jesus Christ that you will go through great tribulation, and so God wants to purify you through that. What we just heard about believers in the Congo right now, it would be odd for us to tell them that they can take heart, they won't have to go through the great tribulation. Because they would say, then what am I going through now? And so we as believers, regardless of the end times and our view in the rapture, should be able to say we are going to expect there to be great tribulation. We should live faithfully through it now. So when it comes to the rapture, I tend not to be caught up in it. See what I did there? I think some of us left our humor behind. There's another one. Great tribulation we should experience. In fact, the reason why God does this, if you think about it for a minute, imagine you live in a great paradise where there's flowing springs all around you. And anytime you want, you can take a nice, refreshing drink from that spring. And then somebody were to walk up to you and hand you a cup of water and say, here, I have water for you. You'd probably look at that cup of water and think, thanks, but I'm all set. I've got plenty of water. But imagine that you were stranded in a desert. The sun beating down on you. No water, no food. Sand all around you burning, reflecting the heat of the sun. Day one, day two. You come to day three. Your body is breaking down. You're dying of thirst. Somebody walks up to you and hands you a cup of water. Oh, you take that water and you drink it as fast as you possibly can. And that is, brothers and sisters, a reason why, among many, that God allows us to go through tribulation and why we can't expect it. Because He wants us, when we step into glory, to be handed that living water that flows from His throne and to be so overwhelmed with the refreshing future which He has for us. So that we're not too satisfied in this world, so that we are satisfied in what He has to offer. Some people think of this, that the world is going to experience such an increase of evil, and they say, why bother fighting against it? Why bother trying to stop it if it's just going to happen? That's like Noah saying, you know, I know God is going to flood the earth, so I'm going to let brush and weeds and trees grow to block the view of the ark. You see, Noah knew that God was going to flood the earth. And what does the Bible say? It says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Why? Because he wanted to tell others that he's building an ark and that there is a salvation to be made, and he wanted to clear the view of the ark. Rather than just saying, well, it's going to get worse, so we'll let the brush come up, we'll let the trees grow, and we'll block the view, and we'll hide the ark so nobody can see it. Brothers and sisters, our involvement in the world is because when the evening turns into night, the world gets darker, but your light becomes all the more apparent and all the more shining in the midst of that darkness so that others can come and be drawn to it. The light of the candle is all the more necessary the darker the world gets. Your involvement in this world, shining your light, being God's people is crucial in the community and in the government and in this church. And it is necessary to take away the brush that is blocking the view of the cross so people can see and be drawn. The ship may be sinking, but you still want to clear every possible route for people to see the lifeboat. Amen? That is your involvement in this world. The future will include great tribulation, but Daniel was faithful from day one in his public office to the very end, living for God in the highest position of authority that you could imagine in that time. So the angel says to Daniel, go your way. You don't know all the details, but there will be tribulation for your people, but go your way. Even though the future may hold tribulation for you, go your way, live faithfully. Keep spreading the gospel. Keep fighting the good fight against evil, because thankfully, the story does not end there. Not only can you expect great tribulation, you can know the future will include great deliverance. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Your people shall be delivered. There is going to be a great deliverance when God will intervene in this world and bring about a great rescue of his people at that time and a great resurrection of his people who have died before then. The 70 beheaded people will be delivered from this chain of death and rise to a new life. Verse 2, he says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and unfortunately, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Oh, that day of deliverance is coming. There's hope. Evil will not have the final say. Whether it be great big governments and one world governments or your next door neighbor, there will be deliverance. In Revelation chapter 7, this is one of the most sobering passages, I think, in the book of Revelation. Yes, being thrown into the lake of fire. Yes, the wrath that's poured down on earth. But there's this passage in Revelation that puts chills in my spine. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around and the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are these arrayed in the white robes and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat.
For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So these are the 70 that we just heard of. They're there. They're praising him. But listen now, the next passage is very sobering. Then, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Imagine that. In heaven, where the angels praise God, where the collective group of the people of God are singing choruses to him, the time comes when there will be silence. No sound. And I think it's because people know what is happening and what is going to happen. The seven angels who stand before God were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar, which was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Our prayers that we offered earlier are in that collection. The smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. What were they sounding? God's deliverance of his people and judgment upon evil. That day is coming. We can expect it. So live faithfully for him now. It reminds me of the story I told. You're going through these trials. You're going through these struggles, this tribulation. You're wondering, will evil have the upper hand? Well, there was this story of a group of individuals being led through a museum. And as they're led through this museum, they are shown by the tour guide a picture of a scene in which the devil is playing chess with a man. And the scene is called, the picture is called Checkmate, and the tourist guide talks about how this scene, how the devil got the upper hand of this man. And you look on the chessboard, and there's the king on the man's side, surrounded by the devil's pieces. And the devil sitting there with a sneer on his face. Well, in the midst of that group, there was one who happened to be a chess champion. And he stood there looking at that scene. The people moved on to the next artifact. And he looked at it. And he looked at it, and he looked at it. Finally, the tour guide went back to him and said, "Sir, we've moved on to the next artifact." He said, "The king has one more move. The king has one more move. And I want to guarantee every single one of you, though you may go through a struggle that you think is unbearable, that you think you will be overcome by, know in that moment that your King of Kings and Lord of Lords still has a move to make. And it is your duty to be faithful to your King and allow him to win the final battle afterwards. Amen? Whatever trial you're going through, you will eventually see deliverance. Your body will eventually be healed when you go through that sickness. Your emotions will no longer be tainted by selfishness. Your enemies will no longer harass you. Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure. Why? For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Find hope, my dear brothers and sisters, in the deliverance that will come. Go your way. Live for him. You can know that there will be great tribulation. You can know that there will be great deliverance. You can know that the future will include great reward. Verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You see, if you live for Jesus today, you live for Jesus tomorrow, you'll struggle. There'll be blood, sweat, and tears, but there will be deliverance, and God promises a reward for faithfulness. a reward. Now, obviously, anything good that we do is by God's grace we cast our crowns, but there will be a future reward that is given to God's people that we praise Him for. It says here that those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Are you walking in wisdom? Am I walking in wisdom? Psalm chapter 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. How you interact with your family, how you interact with your peers, with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ needs to be with the fear of God. So that we do not act foolishly, selfishly, and ungodly. Because walking in wisdom means that there is going to be a shining through you. And you want that glory of God to be seen through you. He says that those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Are you engaged in turning people to the Lord? To using your life to ensure that other people know Jesus as Lord and Savior? There's a promise that like the stars that shine in the sky, His glory will shine through you for sharing that truth, for turning people to righteousness, for being like Noah who preached righteousness as he built the ark, to be like Daniel who preached that God is the God Most High to Nebuchadnezzar and Belteshazzar and Darius. There will be a reward. Live for, and the reward in this earth seems so insignificant. You know, you share the gospel with somebody or you live for God and there's no pat on the back. There's no sense of accomplishment. But oh, if you wait, Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. It's like kind of, you can think of it like the Apple stock. In the 1970s, Apple Incorporated was just a small startup. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak couldn't pay their employees much, and so they turned it into stocks that they could offer their employees to buy. And there were many employees who thought the business wasn't going anywhere, and they sold their stocks. And well, this one man had sold his stock for $800. But if he knew where it was going, if he knew what was going to happen, it'd be worth over $10 million today. I use that just to point to the fact that your faithfulness to God today is an investment for the glory to come tomorrow in the next life. So don't base your decisions and your faithfulness on immediate rewards. That's especially true for me. As I live for Christ day by day, I don't want to keep judging the success by immediate results. We are a culture of immediate results, immediate numbers. If you look at Jesus' ministry, immediately he had nothing. 3.5 years starting a ministry, and he had nothing except a few people who followed him, but even deserted him in his moment of needing the most. Yet he was living knowing what would come. And as a result, we are here today among billions who have followed Jesus. Maybe then, if we knew that our faithfulness to Christ today will explode with blessings to come, we wouldn't be so concerned with what people think when we share the gospel. We won't be so concerned with how it might affect us if we just want to be faithful. Because we're looking to the future. We're looking for the eternal pleasures at God's right hand. The angel told Daniel, close up the book in verse 4. He gave him some more details in verse 8. He said, you know, I don't understand. In verse 9, the angel says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end of time. We don't know everything about the future, but we do know this. There will be tribulation in your life living for God. But take hope, there will be great deliverance. For God will bring all things into judgment and know that your future will include a great reward. That's enough. That's enough for you. Go your way. Live for God. Go into the fiery furnace. Get thrown into the lion's den. Be faithful in your marriage. Work hard for Jesus. Study hard for Jesus. Keep being Christ to your children. Keep leading them to Christ. Keep on going your way with Christ. We come to the end of Daniel, and I just want to share one more thing. The last verse of the book of Daniel says this, "But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days." You see, Daniel was much older now. He wasn't the young man he was when he started. He didn't have much time left. His life was wrapping up. He was going to die soon. He was not going to see the fulfillment of the things which he heard. And the angel said, "Daniel, go your way. You will rest." And I think about that. It doesn't matter if you're the same age as Daniel was, or any age in between. Life goes by quickly, doesn't it? There will be a time when you will go your way and enter in your rest, unless Jesus returns. Do not fear, for you will arise to your inheritance. Back at a church I was attending out east, there was an older woman who, she kind of led the nursing outreach group that was a part of that church. Her name was Evie. And she was an older woman, but she used her days to live for Jesus. And I remember she invited me to go to the nursing home ministry that they were a part of. And she would go and she would play the keyboard she had at that time. And others would play the instruments. And she would go to a nursing home where there were these people who were at the end of their life. And she was telling them about Jesus. And she herself knew Jesus. And I remember one song she would sing, that she would sing to the residents of this nursing home, "I Don't Know About Tomorrow." And I want to share the words to you, because soon after I left that church and moved out here, Evie herself went home to be with the Lord. And I have the paper here somewhere. Here it is. She would sing these. "I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." Daniel went his way. Evie went her way. I'm sure most of those residents she sang to went their way. You will go your way, but don't worry. You know who holds tomorrow. And that is what Daniel would want us to know. Live for him today. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the future hope. Today, Daniel is with you. He's at rest. He lived his whole life faithfully. Oh, what a man of God. May we all dare to be a Daniel. Many of us will likely join him one day. And we know that the promise given to Daniel is true for us. We will arise to our inheritance at the end of the days. Help us, Father, to live for you every day of our lives, knowing that you are the one in control over history. We love you, Father. We thank you, and we recommit ourselves to you today. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, Amen.